Hi, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast. We're doing this right now in July of 2019. And the reason we're doing it right now is because this is World Benzodiazepine Awareness Day Month, which is July 11th. It's a very important day around the world where people come together to share their stories of what's happened to them, where we can do a little bit of advocacy work, and changes, I believe, are starting to happen. We're doing it also because I wanted to let people know where I've been for a year. How come I released 4 podcasts back in March and then all of a sudden everything goes quiet? So I thought I'd let everybody know what's been going on with me the last year. So back a year ago, right after we released the podcast, I had noticed a strange growth on my husband's temple. It was about the size of an eraser head and it was blood red. Didn't hurt him, didn't bother him. And we ignored it, to be honest. We just ignored it, thinking, what is it? And then as time went by, I'm looking at it going, you know, that is strange. And I finally did make an appointment for him with the doctor. And like most men, my husband didn't want to go, but thankfully he went. And the nurse practitioner who saw him that day did make an appointment for him with a urologist and with a dermatologist. When he went to the dermatologist, a little biopsy was taken, but we were more concerned with the urologist because he had a high PSA. So we got a phone call that he wasn't concerned. You know, he did go back in and have further testing. They weren't concerned. All's going well. Really didn't think twice about the dermatologist. And at the same time, my Aunt Betty, who I was close with, had gotten very sick and was in the hospital. She was at her final days, and we were there every day with her. And then the night before she passed away, we got the phone call from the dermatologist that my husband had what's called Merkel cell carcinoma. And she tells us right then and there not to look it up. And so he's downstairs on the computer looking it up. I'm upstairs on the computer looking it up. And it's a very rare, aggressive skin cancer. So, you know, my aunt passes away. We have to go through the whole wake and the funeral. And now we've got appointments set up at Dana-Farber. And we've got to go in and learn about Merkel cell. But one of the things we did with modern technology, we set up a Zoom call with both of our families to inform them what we had learned. And, you know, my husband was going to be, have to have surgery. And one of the things that we also did, you know, after what I've been through, we had heard of a naturopath that specialized in cancer. So while all's going on with Dana-Farber, we are also seeing a naturopath who gives my husband a specific diet, and we pay for some specific tests, and we're trying to go the natural route. We're going to do both. So my husband is going to have surgery to remove the Merkel. And in the meantime, my daughter, who was supposed to be getting married in September, we keep asking, should we move the wedding up? Because my husband was going to be having a lot of radiation. And they're like, no, you know, it should be fine. But my daughter, who had noticed way back in March when we got the blood work, she said, I think Dad has leukemia, but we're at Dana-Farber and nobody's noticing it. But right before his surgery, they're getting a little concerned that his white blood cell counts are dropping. But they do the surgery, and so then he has he starts radiation. Now we're requested to have a bone marrow biopsy, so he now has the bone marrow biopsy. Now we're informed my husband has acute myeloid leukemia. So now he's got Merkel cell carcinoma, which we believe has been handled, but he has to go through radiation. And we're told he has to go in the hospital for a month to deal with the leukemia. So now again, do we move my daughter's wedding up? So we're trying to get an answer, and we are into June at this point, and we're told, you know, oh, yes, if I were you, I would do it. So we've got 10 days to move my daughter's wedding up. And I swear, if she didn't have her gown, I don't think we could have pulled it off. So I'm at radiation every day with my husband. Then we're home and we're working on the wedding, you know, trying to do everything. But you know what? We pulled it off, and it goes beautifully. And my husband's able to give her away. And within 2 days, my husband enters the hospital for a month. So, you know, if you want to talk about stress, but one of the things, just so you know, because he has to enter the hospital so fast, they double up on his radiation. So we don't see the results of that on the wedding day, thank God. But as he's in the hospital, his ear, it becomes like a burn victim. And but, you know, they're trying to treat him and take care of him. And, you know, he's okay in there. And for anybody that knows Boston, and this is kind of the funny part for me, who became agoraphobic and couldn't drive from what Ativan did to me, best way to get in town to where Brigham and Women's and Dana Farber and all that is to go the Jamaica Way, which I used to never drive. And there I am every day driving on the Jamaica Way. So just so you know, things can change. And I would laugh. Sometimes I'd just be on the phone talking to people while I was driving in there. So he's in there, and I feel like he's being taken care of. And a week after my daughter's wedding, we have her bridal shower because, well, it was set up. So we're still under a lot of stress. I'm cooking and getting ready for that. And we have the shower, and that goes off well. And so then it's interesting. We're just so busy doing things, and you just think, how can I even handle all this stuff that's going on? At the same time, my niece is losing her battle to cancer. And now here we are into July, and my uncle, my father's surviving brother, falls, and I've got to take care of him. So he's in the hospital. From the hospital, he goes to rehab. So there were days I'm going from the hospital to visit my husband, to the rehab to see my uncle, and then run down to see my niece. And it just was a constant nonstop. And then by September 7th, my niece lost her battle, and my husband was out of the hospital at that point. So he did get to be there the night she died. And then the next day he had an infection, because one of the things when you're going through acute myeloid leukemia, you can get a lot of infections. We were in a lot of seclusion during that time, and he had an infection, and back in the hospital he had to go for another 14 days. So that was very hard on him. But when he got out, you know, we would try to see family when his counts were good. So again, tough year with my husband, my niece, my uncle, you know, my aunt passing away. And people think, oh my gosh, you know, how did you survive it all? And it's interesting, we can survive it. I think we have to, after what we've been through with benzos, you have to take care of your health. I'm not saying I ate perfect during it, but I was trying to eat well. I took supplements to feed my adrenals, to keep me calm naturally. It's just a constant. I one day I remember walking from Dana Farber over to Brigham and Women's, because that's where my husband was when he was in the hospital. I noticed that I was having a hard time breathing. And for me, that's a telltale sign. I need to back off and get some rest. And I did. I would take something natural, and I would have to watch my own health. So, you know, as all this is going on, now again, I'm still dealing with my uncle. And by October, the rehab wants my uncle to come home. So on October 4th, we brought him home, and I hired 24/7 care for him at his house. And he died on October 30th. So now I've got to handle the selling of his cleaning out his house, selling of his property, dealing with everything. It's like the stress just didn't stop. It was one after the other. And I can remember one of my girlfriends who knew everything I went through, she's like, how are you not taking Ativan through all of this? And we both laughed. I said, because you can't take a pill to change anything. It is what it is. And we have to listen to our bodies and take care of ourselves. And I was trying my best to listen to my body, get some rest. You know, that was one of the things. It's like, oh, I've got to get some rest. So now as we go into, let's say, the beginning of the year, we're thinking, okay, my husband does his last treatment in the hospital in January. He enters, we go to a wedding, he enters into the hospital for that last treatment the last week. And when he came out, this was the first time, no infection. And we thought, you know what? We need a break. We've just got to have a break here. Let's, you know, we decide, all right, let's go to Florida in March. So we finally get cleared of leukemia, but thank God the dermatologist called our house, because knowing my husband, he would never, never have made an appointment to go see the dermatologist again. For some reason they called, they wanted to see him. And we went in, and they said, they, you know, she wanted a PET scan. So, okay, we go and we do the PET scan, and we go for the results. And she said, you know, it looked good. There was a little something on each side, kind of under where the ear is on each side. But we're thinking, okay. But she's like, no, don't worry, it's nothing. But we get a call a few days later, and they're like, well, you know what, we're concerned. We'd like him to come in for an ultrasound-guided biopsy. So we go in for that on a Friday, and we were leaving, let me see, we go in for that on a Friday, and we left for Florida 2 days, you know, 2 days later on a Sunday. By Thursday, and so now we're cleared for leukemia, we leave for Florida, you know, the biopsy's done, we head off to Florida. By Thursday, while we're in Florida, we get the phone call that my husband's Merkel cell carcinoma is back, fourth stage metastasized. So we thought, oh gosh, here we go again. And I said to my husband, we are here. Well, the first question we asked is, should we fly home? And she said, well, now she had to talk to another specialist. We got the phone call back. She said, enjoy the rest of your vacation. So we stayed, I don't know, we were there about a week and a half or so. And we decided we're in Florida. We've had a year from hell. So we decided, you know what? We're going to eat what we want while we're here. We're going to enjoy while we're here. Let's just take this time. And we arrived back home and we were at Dana-Farber the next day to have a meeting. And literally my husband started immunotherapy the next day. And just from that little light up on each side that they saw on him while we're in Florida, there's a growth getting so big sticking out of my husband's neck. So we're very concerned, especially hearing fourth stage from a rare aggressive cancer. But his first immunotherapy treatment, the lump goes down. He's feeling, aside from tired, he's doing well. Where I said to him, when we arrive back in Boston, you will be on a strict diet, which he's doing as best as he can. Let's just say when I was sick from benzos, I was meticulous, but you know, my husband's feeling better. We go this coming week for the first PET scan to see how he's doing. But you know, that's the whole point of us sharing our stories, because when people find out what I've been going through, they just don't understand how I've handled it. And benzos has taught me a very important lesson, and that is I can't freak out. I can't control it. I'm not going to freak out and take care of my body. There are days when I've had so much stress in my body, I thought, I can't do this. And I have a, not that I love yoga, but I have a yoga DVD that's for stress, and I would do it and it would help relieve a lot of the stress. Or another time, I went, my son happened to be off that day, and we went to one of those places that for like $35, they massage your neck and your shoulders, and while your feet are in the nice warm water, and then they massage from your knees all the way down to your feet. And I went in there practically in tears. I was so full of stress. And when we left, I felt wonderful. We went and we got a nice juice, and it's just, I need a little something for me. Another time, my daughter and I went to a spa. You know, my daughter and I just had a nice spa day. Little things like that that I would never have done for myself before. So I think it's important that we take care of ourselves once we're better. And one of the things that I've always asked people that have had a setback, could you feel something coming on? And every single person that had a setback said yes, but they ignored the warning signs. So if I've learned anything, and if I can teach any of you anything, when you have the signs, when you have a lot of stress going on in your life and you have warning signs, pay attention to them. They are, yeah, our bodies do try to tell us something. So that's what I do now. I'm still very hopeful with my husband, but my time right now is for him. So we are going to continue with the podcast. We're kind of back on track. We're looking at different equipment to help do it. We want to bring on some really good survivors still. We still had a lot of people lined up from before, some good professionals, even some of the original benzo pioneers that some of you wouldn't have had the opportunity to even hear about them because so much has happened. I want to hopefully bring all that to you. And if you have any questions, you can email me at Geraldine at, my son is here with me. What is the... let me just try to think here for a minute, because it's been a while since we've done this, so I have to always remind myself what it is. And I can't always promise you that I'm going to get back to you, because, again, my husband is the number one priority. So the email is geraldinepodcast@gmail.com. So if anybody does need to reach me, you can reach me there. And, again, if I don't get back to you right away, I think when we go through what we go through, our lives, our personal lives have to become the priority. And as much as I want to continue to do everything that I was doing before to bring awareness, that has to take a step back. And even though we've had the year from hell in January, our third benzo bill, that was filed. And my son is here, Garrett, and that was still filed in the State House back in January.
It was filed in January of 2019.
And we're still waiting upon a hearing date, which can be anywhere from now till when?
February.
From now till February. We won't get great notice, usually.
Usually about a week.
Well, about a week. And, you know, it's funny because constantly I have, we're given 3 minutes to speak. And believe me, in 3 minutes, you can get your point across. But I'm constantly like pretending like I'm having a talk in my head. And I'm thinking, I got to start writing these down because I come up with some good things, because you've got to make that point in 3 minutes. So anybody who wants to do legislation, you know, there's so much that you have to get ready for. And we're going to do a whole show on doing legislation, right, Garrett?
Yeah.
Just so, again, I know what's happening in other states, but which is great, and the more states that do it, but I'm a big believer that we were the first state to file a bill. I'm still hoping we'll be the first state to pass the bill. So with that being said, now that we're hopefully going to be back online again, I want to thank you all for listening. Hopefully we're going to bring you the two shows I always wanted to bring you right after we release the first four, and those should be coming, I hope, very soon. And thank you again for listening. All right, first episode, now that we're back, is done. It felt good to get it done. And I want to just mention something that I should have mentioned while I was doing the show, and that is, with my husband being told he had cancer, and whether he was with a doctor, a nurse practitioner, or in the hospital, he was constantly, and I mean constantly, offered Ativan. And he never took it, thank God. But it's like, if he wasn't married to me, well, he probably would have gotten it. And every time he could say he was nauseous, which he really did fairly well. Well, we can give you Ativan for that. And one day I was actually there when a nurse said, we can give you Ativan. And I looked at him and I mouthed, no way. And he actually said, oh, I told her how you feel about Ativan. And she still in front of me offered him Ativan. And in all the time he was going, you know, he kept saying, no, I don't want it. And on one of his last times, and he came home and he was looking at his prescriptions, he said, oh, look, they gave me a prescription for Ativan. I said, you know what? If you didn't know me, you'd just go fill your prescriptions and you'd start taking your Ativan. And then in a month or so, when you were done with it, you'd say to the doctor, hey, you know what? I'm having anxiety. They'd say, well, you have cancer. Well, of course you have anxiety. And then they'd keep you on it. So that just shows how this can happen. My husband, his attitude in having cancer was phenomenal, I have to say. But the other drug he was given, because my husband went septic while he was in there and he almost died. And that was, needless to say, was a very tough time when that happened. But he was given Cipro, and I had said to him, don't take a fluoroquinolone antibiotic. But he was given Cipro. He seemed to do okay with it. I thought, if that was me, you know, forget it, I'd be floxed. But he was on it for 6 months, and I kept telling him, you know, how I felt about these drugs. And anyway, so he, one day we were talking. Now this is, you know, he's been on Cipro for months, and I'm telling him about somebody else that's having all these problems with their legs. And he said, well, I'm having all those problems with my legs. And I said, well, I told you about the Cipro. So when we got home, he's reading all about Cipro, and he goes, I have every single one of those side effects. So he stopped taking it. And 3 weeks later, his legs were feeling better. They're not perfect, and this has now been months, and they're finally starting to feel better. But we went in to Dana-Farber, and we talked to them about the Cipro. And I said, well, all right, we'll put that in your chart, but next time we'll give you Levaquin. I said, no more of those. I mean, I understand they're concerned about an infection, but, you know, especially where we're telling him he has had a problem with Cipro, they were just going to give him, it's like saying, I have a problem with Ativan. Okay, I'll give you Xanax. No, we want it in his chart, no more. But, you know, I want to mention a few blessings here. And when my husband, because everybody said, how do you people laugh about everything? And laughing was very important. So we always say the Merkel was a blessing, because we caught it early, even though it's not a curable cancer, it's a manageable cancer, we're being told. So hopefully when we go for the PET scan, it's going to work. But that Merkel led to the leukemia. Now that leukemia, had we not caught that, and my daughter, who's a nurse, as she said, by the time some people get to the hospital, it's taken over their body so slowly, it's too late. So we were very fortunate. We have to look at every blessing that we had. And I want to mention a book that, when my niece was going through her battle, she kept saying, you have to get the book Radical Remission, which we got. And every time I was at Dana-Farber, I was reading the book. And one of the things that's in there, but we were already doing this, it talks about laughing. And no matter where we were, whether we were with a Merkel doctor, we were with the leukemia doctors, or, I mean, we had to go see, we were probably on every floor in there. Anyway, we would laugh and make jokes, and they'd be laughing with us. And we would say, if anybody's walking past our room, you know, all you could hear was laughing. And when the laughing stopped, it actually hurt more, you know, what we were going through. So it helped to, whether we were making fun of when he lost his hair. In fact, it was our 35th wedding anniversary when I went in there and I said, okay, I brought the little peanut shaver. I said, let me shave the rest of your hair off. And he said, no, I like the little bit that I have. So he never shaved it. He wore a hat. He lost, obviously, a lot of weight, but he certainly did put it all back on when he got out. But, you know, you have to laugh about everything, you know, and I think that was important for us. And like I said, when it got gloom and doom around here, you'd feel it physically. So when we're sick, I like the chapter in Radical Remission where she went and rented every comedy she could get. I think that's important. So as sick as you are, get some comedies. I remember telling another benzo person once, I saw the movie Just Friends with Ryan Reynolds, and I laughed. I was so sick at the time, and I laughed so much while I watch that movie. So do something. Even for someone who doesn't have cancer, I think Radical Remission is a phenomenal book. I highly suggest people get that. So with that being said, that's the end of me just kind of going over anything that I might have forgotten. And I hope to get the other shows out within the next few weeks or so. Thank you for listening.